Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Today on the show, we'll be discussing what it's like to be a woman or non-binary person in Vermont's craft brewing and fermented beverage industries. Then we'll speak to the creators of VPR's Safe and Sound series about the 100th episode of their show, which celebrates Vermont musicians. We've had these conversations planned for a while now, and I am really excited to share these stories with you. In particular, the stories of women who are trying to make Vermont's beer industry a more inclusive place. But before I introduce today's guests, I want to acknowledge that for many of us, myself included, it's very hard to talk about or even think about anything other than the mass shootings in Uvalde, Buffalo, and other cities and towns across our country. In the 3 days since Uvalde, my mind has been consumed by thoughts of my own little daughter and what it would feel like to have her ripped away from me. And the thought sits like stones in my gut. This Wednesday, Vermont Edition opened our phone lines to hear how you're processing these terrible events. For next Wednesday, we are all working on a show about Vermont's approach to gun laws and what the state's young people are feeling. If you have thoughts to add to that conversation, please email them to us at vermontedition@vpr.org. Then at the end of next week, we're kicking off a series of primary debates on Vermont Edition, featuring the candidates who want to represent you in Washington and in Montpelier. I'd ask you to channel whatever you've been feeling this week into action and submit a question for these political candidates. We might ask yours during one of the debates. To submit a question and see the debate schedule, you can visit vpr.org and click on 2022 primaries. All right, now back to today. We are looking at one of the industries closely associated with Vermont and the women reforming it from the inside out. The Pink Boots Society is a national organization that supports women and non-binary people who work at breweries, distilleries, and bars. And we're joined today by two co-leaders of the Vermont chapter. First, we have Clara Walsh, a bartender at Three Penny Tap Room in Montpelier. Welcome, Clara.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
We're also joined today by Julie Smith, a lab manager at Lawson's Finest Liquids. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Sure. And I should also note here that both Lawson's and Three Penny are VPR underwriters. Are you a woman or non-binary person working in Vermont's beer or fermented beverage industry? You can join the conversation. Our phone lines are open. Give us a call at 800-639-2211. We'd love to hear about your experiences. You can also email us at vermontedition@vpr.org or tweet us at Vermont Edition. All right, Clara, let's start with you. First, can you tell us a bit more about what the Pink Boots Society is and what its goals are?
Yeah, so as you said, Pink Boots Society is a national non-for-profit organization. Roughly, I think about 40 states have their own individual chapter. And the goal for Pink Boots is to provide educational resources for women who want to advance their career in the fermentation beverage industry. And all membership dues, those go toward providing scholarships for women who are looking to advance their career.
And there was a previous iteration of this group here in Vermont, right? What happened there?
Correct. Yeah, there was a Vermont chapter, I think about 8 years ago now. And, you know, it was the same idea. However, it did fall apart due to lack of involvement. And I think at that time, there were so few breweries. You know, now there's over 60 in the state. Back then, you're dealing with, I mean, probably not even half that. And most of it was localized to the Burlington area, which makes sense. But unfortunately, that kind of leaves out the rest of the state. So, you know, there wasn't the involvement that we are
seeing today. Actually, Sorry, you cut out there, but I think we got the gist right at the end. Now, Julie, you're with Lawson's, and I know that Claire just mentioned that there's around 60 breweries around the state. Just, you know, I guess anecdotally, or perhaps you have some data on this, do you have any sense of how many of those breweries have women in leadership positions?
I don't know if I could speak directly to leadership positions. I know we have Karen Lawson. She is one of our big leadership folks here at Lawson's Finest. The Alchemist also is female owned or co-owned. There's a lot more women involved in the brewing industry than when I started brewing back about 7-8 years ago. And it's great to see the amount of interest that's come of it. At our last meeting, I heard of women that are getting promoted to being lead brewers or head cider makers. So there's a lot of that. And there's also a lot of support staff, admin, financial, positions of that nature where women are leading the charge in the industry.
And when you started 7 or 8 years ago, what felt different than the situation today?
It felt a lot more spread out. As Clara mentioned, you know, a lot of stuff was focused in the Burlington area, and brewing in the central or southern part of the state, it just kind of felt like there wasn't that same type of camaraderie around in the area, but there definitely is. We're seeing a ton of interest now from across the state, and we're focusing events to hit all of those areas. But I think the difference is just there's more women involved, so there's more of us looking for that camaraderie and for the chance to advance our careers through education and connections.
And Claire, you mentioned these educational scholarships. For someone who's not familiar with these industries, what types of education or supports could women in the beer and fermented beverage industries use or are asking for in order to advance their careers?
So the scholarships vary year to year. I know right now they're doing some where women can go over to Europe and study in some of the well-established breweries in Belgium and France and Germany, and just learn different techniques for brewing. And then there's also, to get the certified, the Cicerone, what's the word I'm looking for? Certification, there you go, which is kind of the beer alternative to a sommelier, like for wine. And, you know, it does change. I know Julie has looked at different opportunities with the scholarships. But it also depends on what women are looking for. And I think that people can propose different scholarships. So again, they change year to year.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've both said that the industry is male dominated, and it's often called out as a boys' club. Clara, how has that played out in your personal experiences?
So I do work on the service side as a bartender, and I do fortunately work at a place that is very inclusive. But you'll always see that, you know, when there's a question about beer, about a style, taste, anything like that, customers even to this day will almost always revert to like my male co-workers, or just look to, if they know that the owners are in there, they'll kind of look for them as opposed to me, where I've been doing this for long enough that I can describe a beer as well as anybody else. And, you know, there's still that idea that I probably just drink vodka cranberries, which are great, and I do, but that's not all I drink. So there's still that kind of stigma that women don't drink beer, and we're seeing more and more that that's just not accurate at all.
Right. I feel like as the craft beer industry has grown, the stereotype of the, you know, kind of hipster white male with a beard and the flannel shirt, who is, you know, the brains behind that new craft brew has sort of grown with it. You know, that there's that that stereotype of who likes beer, who knows how to make beer. Clara, how do you push back against that?
I mean, I try to do it as politely as I can. You know, just giving them the information that they're looking for and just letting people know that, hey, I, you know, I drink this too. And maybe I offer my two cents on a style or try to, and again, this is from strictly a bartending perspective, where customers, again, just think that you have no idea what you're talking about. So I just try to be as pleasant and give the information that I have, and hopefully, you know, hopefully they realize that I also enjoy beer. And even though I'm not wearing flannel and a mustache, and I do just want to point out that we all know these guys and they're great, and it has nothing to do with who they are or the stereotype or whatever. It's just really trying to change the way that you know, that the outside world perceives the craft beer industry and distilling in general. And on the other side, for wine, which is also included in the Pink Boot Society these days, I think it's almost the opposite, where it's a very female dominated, and, you know, you see it on both sides, but you know, Pink Boots started with craft beer, and that's really what we're trying to change.
And Julie, for you, do you still feel like that the stereotype of the, you know, the white guy with the beard and the flannel shirt that kind of dominates our idea of the craft beer industry is something that you and your colleagues have to push back against, or is it really starting to change?
You know, speaking from the position I'm in now at Lawson's Finest, where we're 50%, if not over 50% women employees, it definitely is changing here for me, and I hope for my coworkers as well. We do a ton of education on beer tasting and beer sensory and how to evaluate and describe a beer. We also have an inclusivity, diversity, and equality board. So we're doing a lot of work around that. We have regular leadership meetings where managers from every department are involved and help make these guiding decisions and what we want to train our employees on and how we want to react to these type of situations if a staff member feels like they aren't being treated equally or valued as equally as a male counterpart. So framing all of that education that we receive as employees, we have a common core vocabulary to be able to talk about this and take those issues to HR. And I think it shows that at least here we're taking it very seriously, and our leadership and our owners take it very seriously, and it helps empower a lot of us. I know it really helps empower myself to be able to speak up and know that there's a team behind me that has my back, and they think that I do a great job and I know what I'm talking about, and, you know, I'm valued on equal ground as anyone else in the brewery.
Now, Claire, I have to ask, where did the name Pink Boots Society come from?
Oh, man. Julie, you may be able to answer this better than I do. I think it speaks to the boots that you wear in the brewery, like on the back of the house side when you actually are brewing the beer.
Julie, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we all have our favorite rubber boots as brewers. And as far as I know, it was just, you know, changing it from your typical like footwear thing to pink boots, like women brew beer too. We're here too. Mm-hmm. And we actually had everyone wear pink rubber boots to our first Pink Boots brew at Lawson. So that was pretty cool.
Did you already own pink boots?
No, we had to scrounge for them online.
Love it. Well, I want to ask about a major moment that affects this conversation that happened last year. The issue of sexism in the industry gained some major attention when a female brewer in Massachusetts posted about sexism in the industry on social media, and then lots and lots of other women from across the country weighed in with examples, including some women here in Vermont. And it led some Vermont businesses to come out with statements saying they wouldn't support breweries that were accused of sexist behavior. Julie, is this still a major topic of discussion here in Vermont? What did this moment feel like for you?
It felt validating in a way. I've worked in mostly male-dominated industries my whole life, from dairy farming, trade to brewing. And it felt like those instances where something, a promotion passed me over or an offhanded comment was made about what I am physically capable of doing or how much I actually know about the position that I'm in. It made those feel a little less lonely, where I absolutely wasn't the only one experiencing that, and that it wasn't necessarily something that should have been said, and it's not okay to make those assumptions about people based on their physical appearance or their gender. You know, everything needs to be based on merit and your passion and how well you actually do know what you're doing and can demonstrate that. So it made me feel a little more validated about some of the things that I've heard offhand or have been directly said to me, or opportunities that I may have missed out on because people didn't believe in me because of my gender.
And Clara, on the serving side, you're a bartender. Hearing these allegations, the conversations that happened around them, how did that feel to you?
I think in a way, it definitely at first made me question a little bit of, you know, are we really thinking about the beers that we're pouring and what's going on behind the scenes, you know, for the people working at the breweries. Like, are we really just thinking about, you know, I think prior to this, it didn't occur to me at all, like what goes on when the beer is being made. I'm just there to serve it and pour it. It just made me, I'm not going to say it made me question what I was doing or the industry in and of itself, but it was eye-opening, and in some ways it kind of felt like a long time coming, again, in an industry that is so one-sided, gender-wise, and as women are starting to break into roles in the industry. I was also kind of surprised. We don't think about things like this happening in Vermont, of all places, and indeed it does.
Mm-hmm. I do think there's this conversation brought up, you know, some of the tropes about Vermont exceptionalism and broke some of those down, saying that no, these things do still happen here, even in a small state with a close-knit brewing community. Now, in a VT Digger article about allegations against some male brewers as part of this moment of reckoning that happened last year, a female brewer in Vermont said, and I'm quoting from the article here, "When you combine that inflated ego with alcohol and flat out bad character, you get men who feel like they can get away with anything." Julie, that's a pretty strong statement. Does that feel true to your experiences with some men in the industry here?
It does ring at least partially true, and I just want to be as clear as I can. Lawson's has been great to me since we opened our doors, and they are leading the way in gender equality, in my opinion, in the industry and in Vermont. So none of these incidences would have been at Lawson's. Mm-hmm. They are so great, and I just want to make sure we're supporting them in every way possible. But yeah, it does. There are instances that I've experienced, whether it's at previous breweries or conferences, where there is that sense of the inflated ego, and then you add some drinks on top of it. And, you know, I like to think I have fairly thick skin, so I just laugh off a bunch of stuff. But there are other offhanded things I've heard about other people and being said about women, and it just, you know, some of it's hard to take, but having other women come forward and talk about it, I think, is a huge sense of camaraderie, and it gives us a way to stick together and know we got each other's backs.
And I should also note that we're not naming any of the people or breweries at the center of these allegations, because VPR was not able to independently corroborate the allegations. But Julie, you've talked a bit about some of the work that Lawson's does to promote its female employees and non-binary employees, to support people who want to further their careers at the brewery. Could you talk a bit more about some of the efforts that Lawson's take that you think might be replicable at other breweries or distilleries around the state?
Absolutely. We work a lot on employee feedback and making sure that the trainings and the education we're offering are things that employees really are interested in, and not something that feels like they're forced to watch or is just a checkbox on a list of inclusion, diversity, and equality checklist. We offer tons of opportunities for our employees to go to conferences, to take webinars, to join online classes. I'm fortunate enough to be volunteering on a number of brewing organizations for webinar education committees, and being able to use my time here at Lawson's to further volunteer for the Pink Boots by being a volunteer coordinator. So having breweries support their employees in a way that allows them to volunteer for other organizations and to be a part of national or even international organizations is a huge help to bring that education in. I know smaller breweries might not be able to afford certain things, but the more you get your employees involved with larger national brewing organizations, that education becomes free to them for their time volunteering, and then they can share it with the rest of the brewery. And I think that's pretty huge.
And Clara, for you, you've said that the Three Penny Tap Room in Montpelier is a great place to work. You've worked there for a while and feel supported. Do you feel like there are actions that that business has done that you think are replicable at other, you know, breweries, restaurants, bars across the state?
Absolutely. Three Penny definitely makes it a point to hold benefits, fundraisers, things like that for local organizations. And they really, the amount of community outreach that they do, I think is impressive for a restaurant. You know, we're not a brewery. We're not this huge, well-known out of state even. And the amount of effort that they put into making sure that they support the community it's impressive. It really is.
And what do you think?
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask for people who live in Waitsfield, where Lawson's is, or Montpelier, where Three Penny is, or, you know, have a favorite local brewery or distillery of their own. What can consumers do to support efforts to center the work of women and non-binary people in these industries? Clara, let's
I would say,
Julie, go ahead.
I was going to say, supporting all of the Pink Boots collaboration beers that come out of a ton of breweries every year is a huge thing that consumers can do. I've seen more Pink Boots collaboration brew days this year throughout Vermont breweries than I have in any year prior, and that's pretty amazing. And getting involved in that by either buying the beer or donating to the cause, or just going out and saying, hey, this is a great beer, tell me more about it, shows a lot of consumer interest, and that makes us really happy.
And Clara, what do you think?
I think Julie is 100% correct. This was the first year that I think there were upwards of 15, maybe 10 to 15 Vermont breweries that did a Pink Boots collaboration beer. And those come out in April usually. And I think the one important thing that consumers can do is, you know, March is International Women's Month, but we are involved year round, 365 days a week. And sometimes it feels like just March and April are the months where people realize that, oh yeah, women work in the industry too, where we're doing it year round. So I think supporting, you know, supporting women owned breweries, the Pink Boots collaboration beers. And if you feel so inclined, just try to look in a little bit more to the Pink Boots Society. Cause again, it's not just 1-2 months out of the year that we are active in doing this. It's year round.
Callers, what are you doing to support women and non-binary people in your life, or women and non-binary people in the brewing industry? Give us a call, 800-639-2211. Now, Claire, we mentioned at the top of this hour that there was a previous iteration of the Pink Boots Society chapter in Vermont, and it fizzled, but it seems like there's a lot of momentum right now around it. What are you doing to keep it going strong this time?
We're doing things like reaching out to VPR and basically cold calling media outlets, breweries, restaurants, and just trying to spread the word that we're here again. And this time, like I said before, we're really trying to include the entire state, you know, not just the Burlington area like it was before. And really what the organization or the Vermont chapter needs right now is memberships. And the only way that that gets done is by, again, putting it out on social media, the news, VPR. So that's kind of how we're just hoping to keep the momentum going and holding events. Like Julie said, you know, we did one in Burlington at Zero Gravity last week. We had our first meet and greet, and then we're going to be doing a similar one down, toward Rutland. That way we can kind of hit the people that live in the southern half of the state, and then looking to, do another one, up in the Northeast Kingdom. So again, even though Vermont is isolated and it takes 2 hours to get 30 miles, you know, that doesn't have to be the case. And breweries and women in the industry don't have to feel that even though they live 2.5 hours from Burlington, that they can't be a member of Pink Boots, because we're really going to work toward including the entire state.
Mm. Now, Julie, you mentioned the boots that you wear to work, and I know a lot of our listeners have probably tasted a beer, maybe even one from Lawson's, but they don't know what goes into making them at a mass scale day to day. Can you tell us a little bit about what your job entails on a day to day basis?
Absolutely. I'm very fortunate in that my job involves many different things on any given day, which definitely keeps it exciting and gives me kind of a broad overview of the entire process. So my position at Lawson's is to make sure the quality of our beer stays consistent from batch to batch, from beer style to beer style, so that our fans can pick up a can on any day of production and it's going to taste just like they had it before. To do that, I monitor a lot of our processes and make sure we're hitting all of our targets. And I do a lot of analytical and chemical testing, as well as screening beers for potential microorganism beer spoilers. Mm. So we know ahead of time if we have anything that can make a beer taste like we're not going to want to drink it, we can stop the process and just dump that beer.
Mm. And what, you know, the Pink Boots Society is very focused on education and helping women and non-binary people further their careers. Is there a skill or an element of your job that you would love to develop in the future?
Oh my gosh, what part of it wouldn't I love to develop? I do a little bit of small scale brewing, and I am not classically trained as a brewer. So that's something I'm always looking to develop. There's so much science behind it and so many different ways of doing things that just knowing how to troubleshoot effectively and feel like I have a little bit more confidence in my skills as a brewer is always something I'm looking to develop. Also putting together like a data management program, being able to generate reports and automate certain parts of my job. So if anyone's asking, I can just spit something out and it's accurate and up to date, because there is a lot of computer work and data entry that I do on the day-to-day to make sure that all of our numbers are hitting where they're supposed to be.
Now, for a lot of women and minorities in all different industries, mentorship is a key element of feeling more comfortable in your job and being able to further your own career. Julie, do you have a mentor in the world of brewing? And can you talk a bit about the role of mentorship in this industry?
Sure. I think mentorship is huge in this industry, and maybe not even such a strict term as mentorship, where it's that seems like you're more day-to-day interacting, just the connections that we're able to form through meeting other people in the industry. We have a Pink Boots forum that goes out every day, and if anyone throughout the country or even internationally has a brewing question, a tap room question, anything like that, they have a whole community that they send it out to, and we can all give our insights and answers, and hopefully they leave with a ton of knowledge, feeling confident that they got a lot of people rooting for them. But personally, yeah, I feel like I've been very lucky, and I've had some really great and knowledgeable people looking out for me since I started my career in brewing. One of the people that brought me into the lab, Kit Hicks, was working in the lab at my previous brewery, and she scooped me up and brought me into the lab, and it was one of the greatest things that that happened in my career as a brewer. And my manager at the time, Brandon Mays, was super great, and he made sure I got all the education I needed and gave me opportunities to develop different sensory programs. And that made me feel like a really integral part of the industry. And currently, I always look to my supervisor, Scott Shirley. He is great at teaching me the gaps that I have in my knowledge, and just making sure that I have everything I need to do my job successfully, and always having my back if I have a question or I'm not feeling super confident about one of the results I put out.
And Clara, we have time for one more question for you. For folks who might be listening to this program and are interested in the Pink Boots Society, getting more information, where would you point them?
Please go to pinkbootssociety.org. That is all spelled out. And you can click on membership, you can click on donation, and on the membership page, you can, I believe it's under the chapters tab, you can go to Vermont. Even if you also, if you live in New Hampshire, but work in Vermont, you can still become a member, if you live in New York and you cross the Lake Champlain, where you are physically located doesn't really matter. You can still become a Vermont chapter member. It is $45 a year for a membership. And again, those dues go to the scholarship funds.
And Claire, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off, but we'll include information on our website. Clara Walsh is a bartender at Three Penny Tap Room in Montpelier and the co-leader of the Vermont chapter of the Pink Boot Society, along with Julie Smith, the lab manager at Lawson's Finest Liquids in Waitsfield. Thank you both so much for joining us today.